Great to have you back, Buzz. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Had a just week freshen up. No, going good, thanks. But no doubt created a few arguments today with this list. It's hard work. Picking the 50 best out of so many great players in the competition, you know. You when you can't find room for players like Dale Finucan, Ben Hunt, even Adam Dewitt, the West Tigers, Jesse Bromwich at Storm, even Tamalolo, he's on a $10 million contract, but I've judged it mainly on form this year. So, leave Jack Whiten missing out, you know, last year's Dally M Player of the Year. It's hard work, I tell you.
There you go, Jack Whiten missed out, lots.
I'm sure Laurie's about to pick it apart like he does every year.
No, well, I won't pick it apart, Buzz, but I mean, there's some quality that has missed out, and I like what you said. You did it on form this year. Was there someone that you wanted to put in the top five that you couldn't sort of make a case? Well, you could make a case to get them in, but you couldn't get them in. I mean, you look at a Cameron Munster, for instance. You've got him at 12, and I said recently that he's arguably in the top 10 players in the game off his form this year, because I rated him so highly the year before, but you've left him out of your top 10. But is there anyone in, you know, you could have put in the top 5 or top 10 that you thought long and hard about?
Yeah, I guess so. And look, you've got to look at Munster, and you can't, you've got to judge him on this year. And the year before, he won a grand final and he won State of Origin and he was in the top three. But his form, you know, particularly during the finals, wasn't great. I think we found out why afterwards. He's got some off-field issues that he's dealing with now. I guess at the beginning of the year, I would have thought someone like Callan Ponga would be in the top five. I think he's a superstar player, but again, he carried a lot of injuries and didn't get onto the park for a long period of time. Someone like Payne Huss could have been higher, but probably gets penalised for the fact that he played in a Broncos side that was down near the bottom of the ladder. Luke Keary, of course, was injured. Pappenhausen could have been higher, but for injury. But look, I don't think there's too many arguments about the top 10. Maybe having Bat Burton there. Look, I think he's a super player, Loss. You know what? And without being disrespectful to you as the champion, there's something about him that reminds me of you. In that he can play in the halves like you did. He can play in the centres. He runs the football so aggressively and hard, and he can pass the footy. And look, he's got a long way to go to even get in a conversation with you and what you achieved. But I just think the potential's there to do it.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player, and he's had a breakout year. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how he can help turn the Bulldogs around next season, because he's an exciting talent. Look, there's not much difference between Nathan Cleary and Tom Trbojevic as the number one player in the game. But why did you elect to go with Cleary over Tom?
Loz, Tom did things this year we haven't seen from a rugby league player for 10 years, didn't he? He was absolutely sensational in lifting Manly from a hopeless position at the start of the year. Look, but he only played 18 games, 28 tries, 31 try assists, 130-odd tackle busts, and had an absolute standout year. But then you go to the Clive Churchill medal winner, Nathan Cleary, so he was the best player in the park in the grand final. He was co-captain of their premiership side. He was part of the Origin team that won the series. And he's done this before he turns 24. And this is Jonathan Thurston, Andrew Johns sort of area he's getting into. Still short of that, but the way he's going, I'm thinking down the track in a few years' time, we'll be putting him in that bracket. And look, I don't think there can be too many arguments considering of the, you know, the trophies he's gone home with, the grand final ring, et cetera, that he's now the best player in the game. But, as I said in my copy, in the story I wrote, it was a photo finish developed print like the old days. It really was.
Buzz, what's the latest, mate, with Luke Brooks and the West Tigers?
Tim Sheens has come out strongly from the UK, and hopefully for the West Tigers, he'll be coming out strongly from Concord when he gets home in the next couple of weeks. He insists Luke Brooks is staying. But the mail we were all getting over the weekend was that he is seriously interested in looking at options elsewhere, including the Newcastle Knights and the Canterbury Bulldogs. So I think it's a story that's still in progress, Clarkey. I think he is a... I'm not sure that he's over playing for Madge, but he's. I think he's over playing in a football side that has struggled for so long without making the finals. And I think he believes he can take his game a little bit further under a different coach, a different setup, a different culture, a club that's more used to winning than what the West Tigers are. I think it'd be a shame if this happened, but personally, for him, he's a much maligned player, and I think it might be actually a good move for him. Mm. West Tigers, I wouldn't want to lose him, but they do have Jackson Hastings, who's arrived and is in quarantine as we speak. So it'll be an interesting one to see how it plays out. But when you start talking about the West Tigers and Luke Brooks, and I think the big story that this top 50 list has thrown up is the gulf between the clubs. And there's six clubs in the NRL that only combined have three players in this list. And one of them is the West Tigers. And it's one of the reasons we had so many blowouts this year. There were too many blowouts. A great final series basically camouflaged what we watched early in the year. So it's a really important story for the NRL. And I put it down to roster management more than the new rules. But, you know, the club-by-club breakdown of this list is a real concern for the game.
What are your thoughts, Buzz, on the Dolphins electing not to have a location name? And is this something we may end up seeing more of in Australian sport? We know we see it with the Warriors, the New Zealand-based Warriors, rather than, you know, Auckland or the New Zealand Warriors. So the Dolphins, no geography attached.
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem with it, to be honest. I just want them to be a competitive football side. I think with Wayne Bend in charge. We're talking about the weaker clubs in Sydney that have been down the bottom for years. With Wayne Bend, and we can't afford to have a 17th side that is not performing. And with Wayne Bend in charge, a magnet for players, they'll be a good side. And look, I really think that's all that matters. I don't have a problem Redcliffe, Moreton Bay, Brisbane. I really don't think it matters, and I think we'll all get over it, and we're just all hanging out to see what sort of side Wayne Bennett can build there. I really don't have a problem. Do you guys have a problem with it?
I haven't. Middo,
yeah, I prefer a location.
Needs to be a geographical location, but for me, I'm a bit like you, Buzz. I just think the Dolphins, it's a brand they're going with. That's the way they want to run. It's more about what they are able to do on the field than what their branding is, because once they become successful on the field, everyone will know where they're from and who they are.
Yeah, look, I spoke to Ray at Bulldog about this yesterday. And look, the whole idea, and there had been opposition for a second team in Brisbane from the Titans particularly and the Broncos. But this new sponsor, the Bulldogs, written about again today, they're bringing in a $5 million, but $1.25 million over 4 years. And this is a company, Adventure Kings, that have never, ever spent money in rugby league. And so they're bringing in new cash, millions and millions of dollars. They're bringing in new members, new fans, new TV viewers, and we should be celebrating their arrival of Wayne Bennett's coaching rather than... Mm. I think, worrying about, you know, the geographical side of it.
Talking of Wayne...
I can't wait to see him play because I know they're going to be a strong outfit.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think with Wayne Bennett in charge, they'll be more than competitive in their first year. What did you make of his press conference on Thursday, Buzz, and in particular talking about how he doesn't take players from the clubs he's been at?
Yeah, that's debatable because he took a couple of the Knicks. Yeah, he took Nicky's take Alex McKinnon.
Darius.
Darius followed him everywhere. He took Jeremy Smith, didn't he, from St George up to Newcastle. And that was basically a dad's army. He was looking for immediate results in Newcastle. He took Willie Mason too, didn't he? And Craig Gower went up there. You know, it was like an old man's home there for a while. But I'm sure he'll go younger and brighter and fresher. And look, what Wayne's done, I think, at South in the last couple of years is shown players if you want to be, you know, if you want to take another step closer to rep football, you go and play for Wayne Bennett.
Mm.
And you look at that South side, you go back to that top 50 list. South, even with Adam Reynolds going and Wayne going, going to be stronger next year because Latrell Mitchell wasn't a top five player before Wayne got hold of him. Cameron Murray wasn't a top five player, top 10 player before Wayne got hold of him. Cody Walker wasn't a top 10 player till Wayne got hold of him. So if you're a very good NRL player and you want to take that next step, you go and join Wayne and you'd probably take a little bit unders to play for Wayne rather than earn another 150, 200K a year to go to the West Tigers or the Warriors or St George or Cronulla or, you know, one of the struggling sides.
Mm.
He is their most important signing, Wayne Bennett. I don't care if they sign Harry Grant, Brandon Smith and Ryan Papenhuyt. Wayne Bennett is their most important signing.
Yeah, he's been there. He's done it before too, Buzz, with the Broncos. And every club that he goes to, he genuinely improves them and does a very, very good job. The interesting thing for me, though, will be who his assistant coach will be because he spoke openly about having the succession plan in place to take over from him. Are you hearing names yet about who possibly be?
There's one interesting name I've heard, but it's not as assistant coach, but it's in a really important role, which is their general manager of football. And you would know how close Wayne was to the legendary Jack Gibson's coaching partner, Ron Massey.
Yep.
Well, I've heard Paul Massey's name, Ronnie's son, has been mentioned as a potential general manager of football.
Well, Mass was with him at the Dragons, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I think that would be a great move for the club because Mass is not in his dad's league as far as, you know, the respect he's held from within the game. But my goodness, he's good.
He does a great job.
He has the same values that his dad had. I'm not sure what Wayne will do about assistant coaches, but all eyes will be on South, won't it, with Jason Demetrio, who's been with him for a long time. Because for all Wayne achieves, there is a history of clubs struggling the year after he goes. St George did, Newcastle did, the Broncos certainly did. So, all eyes on South next year.
Buzz, what's this about respected Dr. Nathan Gibb quitting his post there, quitting his post there at Manly?
Yeah, guys, you would probably remember, it was back in May, we spoke about this in this very time slot. Manly suffered a number of injuries early in the year, but they weren't in games, they were in training, and Nathan was of the opinion that the high-performance staff probably weren't doing their job, you know, to his satisfaction. So he went to Stephen Humphries and he went to Des Hasler and suggested some changes. So did their head physio, who was nursing Tom Turbo and ensuring he was going to last a season on that dicey hamstring. So, look, nothing was really done about it. We got to the end of the year. Look, Manly did well. They managed their injuries reasonably well and they made the grand final qualifier and did well to. But Nathan Gibbs is still not happy with the scenario there, so he's quit. And I think it's a huge blow. With Laurie, you can talk better than anyone about Nathan Gibbs, New South Wales, Kangaroos, number of NRL clubs, Sydney Swans, 37 years experience. It's a huge blow, and particularly the physio, James Rami, too. He's so highly regarded. He's gone off now to the GWS Giants to work. Yeah, it's probably an issue Des Hasler didn't want to have to deal with at the stage of the off-season.
Yeah, Nathan Gibbs is the best sports doctor in the business. There's none better than Nathan. Had a long association with Nathan through Origin. He's done Australian sides, Manly, Swans, everywhere. He is certainly the best doctor that I've ever come across. Buzz, we mentioned this last week and a little bit this morning, and I think this will become one of the big or the hottest topic in rugby league in the build up to Christmas, is the NRL and COVID vaccinations, where they yes. sit and what players are going to do, whether they're going to elect to not be vaccinated, and if they don't get vaccinated, where will that leave the NRL and clubs in particular?
Yeah, well, Danny Widener had a good story on Sunday about Luke Thompson at the Bulldogs, and Phil Gould made it very clear when he started there that he expects everyone to return to training at the beginning of November, fully vaxxed. And even, I'm not sure what they're doing with their junior reps, because I had a little story this morning, the Harold Matthews trialists, they've got training in two groups, one vaccinated, one unvaccinated. Now, the NRL don't want to make an all-round decision like the AFL has done and said no jab, no play, but they are of the opinion that the 16 clubs will do it for them. Look, I spoke to a manager yesterday who had three players, Polynesian players, who were originally against having the injections, but they've now come around. They've researched it. They've done more information. They're looking at the wonderful comeback in this state where we're out and about again and not as many hospitalisations as there were. And I think it's only going to be a handful of players who will point blank say they won't have the injections. And you know what? I'm not sure they'll be playing NRL next year. And because the clubs are, in my opinion, taking a really, really responsible stance to it. And even if your name is Luke Thompson and you're one of the best front rowers in the world, you will not play football unless you decide to get vaxxed. So I'm actually, look, it's only a personal opinion, but I'm disappointed in his stance.
Buzz, great to have you back, mate, and have a good week.
Yeah, Loz, before I go, I gave Bulldog Rich an instruction yesterday.
What was that, mate?
I've still got a little bit of sway.
Yeah.
I said, when you're in hospital next week.
The photo?
You know what I said? I said, get a photo. You've got to get a photo. Now, this is one of the most famous noses in rugby league history.
Yes.
Mate, you've got to allow us in.
Well, I hope you remember who I am when I come out.
Yeah, give us the number of your surgeon. We'll have a chat when the theatre's allow us into the theatre.
A one-on-one with Buzz on Sunday.
But I said to Bulldog, get us the photo.
I knew you would.
I'll tell you what, though. It's going to end up in the body and soul section of the Telegraph.
Oh, no. You reckon?
The funny
it's
thing
front
was...
Page. This is the front page of Oz's nose.
The funny
sure.
thing was when he rang Bulldog, he goes, put him on. So he puts me on. He goes, mate, just take your time. It's all about getting well-rested yeah. and, look after yourself. And, mate, don't want an interview. Don't want anything like that. Yeah. I said, yep, nah, thanks, Buzz. So I handed the phone back over to Bulldog. Bulldog Riggins, when he hung up, he goes, mate, he's too good, Buzz. I said, why? What did he say? All he said was, just get the photo.
I think I might have dropped an F-word in there.
Good on you, Buzz.
All right, guys.